ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my harmonious friend, Ian. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Harmonies, designed by, and I'm just going to go ahead and apologize on the front end.
Might as well.
I have no shot here. Designed by Johan Benvenuto. Artwork created by Maeva da Silvam. And published by Libelud. That's it. There's no games on the end. It's just Libelud.
How do you say it?
Libelud.
Libelud.
Yep.
Libelud.
It's like a Pokemon.
Okay. Harmonies is a 1-4 player token playing game where players are building a beautiful landscape of different terrain types to create beautiful habitats and environments for different animals throughout the game. I know that was a lot. That was a lot of words.
That was a lot.
Players will build and organize their tokens to score points based on their animal's specific needs, because all animals have needs. At the end of the game, players will count up their points, and whoever has the best harmony in their beautiful world wins.
Wow.
Let's review Harmonies.
Very good.
Well,
although I will say, you missed out an opportunity to call it a token organization game.
It is.
Because you are organizing tokens in your landscape.
I did say that later, though.
You did. When you were talking, I was like, it just rolls off the tongue. Like
it does. Well, I can go back and do it.
No, it's okay.
Okay, fine.
You've already made your bed.
All right, Jared. Well, one, do you have a favorite animal and why? Why does it harmonize with you?
All right, I have a question.
Or why do you harmonize?
I have a question for your question.
With it.
I have a question for your question.
Yes.
Can it be a dinosaur?
I mean, that is an animal. Sure. I'll allow it, but that's not. No, I'm taking it back. I'm rejecting that.
Dang it.
It has to be an animal that is in the current world, because that's how these are. Unless it's like a fake animal, like a unicorn.
There are spirits in this game. What are you talking about?
There's not
about?
A dinosaur in this game, though. So no, I'm not allowing it.
Is that going to be in the expansion?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Oh my goodness.
I'm curious if we have the same one.
There's so many animals.
Know,
how can we possibly
have the same one? I have the one on my mind, and I know it could be yours.
Okay. So, like, I have an answer, but I can't, like, tell you why it's my favorite.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's fine.
I just think it's a cool animal.
All right, that's fine. That's good enough, because that's probably what my answer will be. So,
I don't know. I think the tiger is so cool.
Okay. But, any particular one, or just?
No, I mean, I think tigers just in general have a really cool
tigers.
Vibe going on.
So all cats.
But I will say, no, not all cats. There's a big difference. I will say, I think the animal I've been most impressed by is the polar bear.
Yeah.
I still remember seeing one of those in the zoo.
Mm.
And I think grizzly bears tie into this too, where,
okay.
And we might've talked about this before, but seeing how big those two creatures are.
Yes.
And remembering hearing people say, if you find a bear in the woods,
run away.
The goal is, no, you don't run away. You're supposed, like, the advice, and I'm putting this in heavy quotation marks, is that you're supposed to make yourself as big as possible. And I'm like, how in the world can I make myself big
against
these massive creatures?
Yep. Yep. That's fair. Yeah. How do you make yourself even comparable to such a large animal?
You can't.
No.
You can't do it.
Yep.
You're dead. Everybody is dead that comes up against a grizzly or a polar bear.
Yep. So anyway, tigers. You like tigers?
I like tigers, man. I think they're cool.
Yep. Well, I personally, I like all pandas.
Okay.
But the red panda
is really cute.
I love the red panda.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's just so peaceful. And every time I see it at the zoo, it's usually just hanging around on the branches and just chill, super chill. That's who I want to. Maybe that's what it is.
That's what you want to be.
I'm not that whatsoever.
You want to be this chill thing.
I do. I want to be.
Maybe like for a day.
I want to have zen.
I can't see you wanting that forever.
Right.
Like if you could be a red panda for a day, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, truth be told, the Velociraptor is the coolest animal.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. That's fine. We'll cut that out.
No, we won't. I'm the one that edits the podcast.
I'll sneak it in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
Cut it.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Okay, well,
anyway.
You answered the question that I was going to
take. What was your question?
My question was going to be, if you could be an animal for a day,
oh well,
which animal would it be? So thanks for just...
No. If I'd be an animal for a day, it would be a lemur.
No, that's a good
choice. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Okay. I can get behind that.
Like Zubumafoo. Remember Zubumafoo?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Like I could talk.
You can do that now.
I know, but I could be a lemur and talk. That'd be so much fun. Just swing around and just have fun for a day.
Okay.
Swinging. Like Spider-Man, but as an animal. It'd be fantastic.
And you would need to talk. That'd be a qualifier.
I mean, I wouldn't have to. I just have to talk again at some point.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody knows I'd love to talk.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Very good. I think I would be either an orangutan. I'm along the same lines as you are.
Yeah,
I want to be able to swing on the trees. I want to live the Spider-Man life for a day.
But I see.
I would, and this is kind of a... We're going back to the cat family.
Oh, boy.
I would either want to be a cheetah.
Okay.
Or going back out of the cat family, an ostrich. Because I want to know what it's like to run that fast. I want to be able to run so fast, Ian.
An ostrich.
I'm a big guy. Okay. I don't know what running fast is like. And so I want to experience that.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right.
Can you imagine being an ostrich for a day? That'd
no,
be wild.
I can't. I don't really want to. I really don't. Well, anyway.
All right. Are we going to talk about how to play this game?
Yeah, please. Stop talking about velociraptors and ostriches.
It was a brief mention.
Ostri? Ostriches?
I'm pretty sure it's ostriches.
Ostriches.
Not with a G.
Ostriches.
All right. In harmonies, the goal of the game is to have the most points from the combination of your landscape that you build and the animal cards that you collect throughout the game. When you open up the box and you start setting things up, you're going to have a central board that you put between all the players. It is going to have 5 spaces on it. You take 3 tokens out of the bag per space and put them on the 5 spaces. You also shuffle all the animal cards and place 5 animal cards face up in the middle of the table. Then each player receives 1 player board and a cheat sheet. The player board is double-sided. On side A is a 5x5 grid. On side B is a grid of 7 columns that alternate 4-3, 4-3, 4-3, 4. I don't know how you summarize that any faster than I just did with the side B, so I apologize if you're confused.
We can't help you.
Me or the listeners? Both.
No comment.
Okay, great. On your turn, you take 1 set of 3 tokens from the central board. You must take all 3 tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Then you place those tokens anywhere you want to on your board. There are 5 types of tokens: mountains, buildings, trees, and there's technically two types of tokens here. Because you have the stumps and then the greenery.
Right.
But the greenery could be a bush, so, you know, there's that. Water and fields. The trees, mountains, and buildings can be stacked on themselves. All other tokens must take up a new space. After taking and placing your tokens, you have 2 additional options that you can do if you want to. The first of those 2 options is to take 1 face-up animal from the general supply, and you can always have up to 4 animals in front of your personal board.
Correct.
But no more than.
Right.
You have to be careful about which animals that you take, but you also need animals to score points for your animals. Imagine that. The second option is to take an animal cube from your animal card and put it into your landscape. So when you gain the animal card, in the top right-hand corner, it's going to have several point values, ranging from lowest at the bottom up to its highest value at the top. The more animal cubes that you can remove, the more points that animal is going to be worth. The way that you do that is in the middle of the animal card at the bottom, there is a configuration of tokens in your landscape. Once you have created the cohesion that allows such an animal to live inside of your habitat, then you have brought more animals into your little world. Once you have taken the last animal cube off of a card, that card goes off to the side. It will score at the end of the game, but it frees up a slot for you to bring in a new animal card. Turns will continue until either the pouch of tokens is empty when you need to refill the central board, or a player has two or less spaces left on its own player board. Play will continue until all players have had an equal number of turns, and then the game is over. So if we're getting to the end of the game, and Ian was the first player and has already taken his turn, and then Anna, on her turn, triggers an endgame condition, Anna will complete her turn, I will complete my turn, and then the game will be over.
Correct.
Players score points in a couple of different ways. Each of the types of tokens in your landscape have ways of scoring points, as long as you follow the rules that are associated with that. And then based on how well you do that, you score more points per type. And as we said, your animal cards themselves also score points based on how well you remove the tokens from those cards. Again, the player with the highest score wins. Now we'll go back over to the table and talk about this beautiful little game.
Well, I think this is a harmonious game.
Tell me more about your opinion.
This game, if you are familiar, and I kind of want to bring this up now because I think it does tie into a little bit. If you've played Cascadia or Azul, it takes aspects of both of these.
That's right. If those two got together and made love in a harmonious song, they would create this as a baby.
That's right. If you've played either of those, it is very similar in a way of drafting some tokens and then organizing them in a specific way on your board. The difference in that, in this game specifically, is the animal cards, I think, in my mind, of the way they work together, because you have your scoring points based off the landscape that you're building in front of you, but these cards and animal cards have very specific way you have to organize the tokens scores you the points.
Right.
Very specific.
It is.
And I think that's really cool. It just adds a new kind of idea to this concept of drafting tiles and playing them.
Right.
And so it does it in a different way. And the art on that is obviously beautiful, and we can get to that. But the cards themselves make it very clear on how you're supposed to organize it. When there's very subtle changes in the way like it organized on the bottom of the card. So some of them are like a straight line.
Yep.
Where some of them it's like one and then slightly off to the side and then another one. Like
it almost kind of makes a C.
Yeah, it makes a little C. And then there's some where it's just three, literally like a triangle. Mm-hmm. And so, but these are all very well done and very well recognizable on the card of like, that's how it's supposed to be. And
yep.
That's very cool because it's just creating, and the way they do that is because there's so many cards. I don't know how many cards there are, but let's see, 32 animal cards and 10 spear cards. So 32 cards. So anyway, it allows for some creativity on how I'm going to build these sets, and you start to get a pattern going, and you start to grab a lot of the same tokens and all that stuff. So anyway, that is the challenge in this game that I find that I'm constantly trying to figure out the best combination, a best pattern that works for the cards that I'm collecting, these animal cards that I'm collecting. And so I really like that idea. I think that is a very fascinating way to explore the strategy in the tokens that you're playing. And so, which does it different than these other token playing games. And I think if in my mind, I would enjoy all three of these in their own way. I don't think this is like replacing for me because I do like Azul. And I like the way it's just different. It's different in a different way. And so I think that's cool. I think it's like they're not trying to, they're taking some aspects of both of these and some theme wise and kind of mixing it all together. And I think it's really cool because the combinations in this, I'm sitting on my turn, I'm thinking, okay, well, if I take this one, then it leaves this space open. And you're doing like, you're like analyzing everything. And you're only taking three tokens, which is crazy because you're analyzing so much for only taking three tokens.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, actually, the way they set that up. It's like, well, this sets me up for a longer play. And did you mention the rivers at all? And how
I called them water, but yeah, it is okay. Rivers.
So the water, well, I guess in a way. So anyway, the water
river is water.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, no, but I.
No, I. Hear
one side
I hear
makes
the
islands, and one side makes rivers. So I don't know if it's all river or not. Whatever. Point is on one side of the board, one connective, you know, train of water making a river is really helpful. Where on the other side, it's kind of like multiple rivers would be really good because it's like as long as they get across the board.
Well, and it's interesting, right? Thinking about that specifically with the different boards, because when you score differently based on those two board types, you kind of change the way that you play the game.
Right.
Whereas on side A, where it's just a 5x5 grid, and I score my river based on the fact that it's just a contiguous river, and mm-hmm. that's how I get my points.
Yeah.
In that aspect, I'm building my landscape, and my river is just part of it.
Right.
Whereas on side B, the islands become the focus
yeah.
for building my landscape, and then my landscape kind of grows out of that.
On the islands.
That's right. So it's
kind of cool.
Very different aspects for such a minor shift.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think that's very interesting how the game does that. It's interesting you say that you don't think that it replaces the other two that have similar aspects.
I don't think it replaces Azul for me, but...
So I think Azul's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really see the love for Cascadia, and maybe I didn't give it enough of a shot,
mm-hmm.
but when Anne and I played, I was kind of like, all right, like, it's fine.
Right.
But I really enjoy this. Mm-hmm. So I was really surprised. I knew going into it the first time that this was like a combination of the two of them. And okay. I was like, well.
So what is drawing you into this more than these other games that are similar?
I think the combination of I'm building something in mm-hmm. front of me with Azul. It didn't really feel like I was building anything. It more felt like I'm just checking boxes, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
With Cascadia, I kind of felt like I'm just kind of throwing stuff down.
Mm.
Whereas with this, it has to be very purposeful because of how tight it is.
Right.
So I think it steps up just a slight notch above Cascadia with the addition of what the Azul aspect, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the combination of how those things work together
yeah.
that makes it enjoyable.
Mm.
Whereas the other two, I'm kind of like, it's okay. I don't know that I would ever like be jonesing to play it,
right?
But it's fine.
I see. Huh.
Now, to be fair to Azul, I've only played the base original.
The original one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've seen...
I like Summer Pavilion. That's the one
yeah.
I have.
So I've seen you play that
yeah.
at JaredCon one time. And yeah. I was like, that at least looks prettier
yeah.
than what original... like Starburst Azul was.
Yeah.
Cause that's what it was like. We're right. just picking up Starburst.
I like Summer Pavilion a lot.
Okay.
I know there's a couple more now.
yeah.
So I don't
well,
even.
Well, and I'm not interested in bashing on Azul. Like,
yeah.
I think if you like that game, I think if you like Azul, you're going to like this game.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yes.
And if you like Cascadia, you're also going to like this game.
Yeah.
So it is going to speak to a large portion of the gaming community.
Think, yes. If I think you are into those games, and your group or you know, you and your whatever.
Yeah.
This game would be for you.
For sure.
Because I think it fits right into that. And so, and honestly, that it fits into a very large group of players in the gaming world. Some gamers like heavier stuff, but games like these that are one less than 30 minutes, 1 to 4 players, easy to learn. So you could, it says 10 plus. I mean, how do you feel about that?
To play it well, I think you're right. I haven't gotten to try this with Faith, uh-huh. who's 7.
To play it.
She could play it. I don't know that she'd be very good
right.
at it.
That's the trick, because I even... You just... we played a game before
we
this.
Playing,
you said you weren't good at
I'm,
this.
No, so. I'm not good at this game.
So that is fascinating. But no, I think you can play this game. I just don't know how you would have to really play it a couple times, especially as a kid, to really start to be like... For a kid to really lock in on, okay, I'm going to build a river, you know?
But I think like if I sat down for 8 or 9 year olds mm-hmm. and just taught them the game,
yeah,
they could all play it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
and
so.
Pick up the concept, fine.
Exactly.
I don't. It's again learning
the subtlety.
Subtlety of learning how to use the whole board together.
Yeah.
And stacking your points.
Yep.
So that I get.
There's a lot. There's a lot of depth.
Yes, there is.
The depth here, like you're saying, I think you can play it and play it fine. But to really start to get good at this game, you do have to play it a couple more times. Because you start to, one, I think knowing some of the cards is really helpful because they're not all this, every card's different. And so to know the patterns out of those 30 cards would be helpful the more, I don't know them all yet. And so it's a little bit still challenging because you're like, okay, I know there's a card that has, you know, three fields next to, you know, three fields in a tree or three fields in a mountain. But if I've already seen two cards that aren't those, or like it is three fields, but, and I guess to be clear, on each animal card, the animal token that you place is different on those cards. So sometimes you'll place your token on the tree, where on another card, it's almost the same exact pattern, but the token will go on the field.
Yeah.
And so there is a little bit, again, knowing the cards would be helpful because you're like, okay, I can't put all these tokens on the fields because I need them for something like more other cards. I don't know. I'd have to look through. I have it to know, okay, there's a lot of cards that the token goes on this or this. I'm curious.
See, that's interesting because I don't even know if that would really play a huge factor to me unless we were playing a four-player game where I know I'm going to see most of the deck. Because in a two-player game, I don't know that we get through more than half the deck.
Right. Right.
And so I can't bank on seeing, because I've got the one field and three stone right next to it.
Yeah.
I can't bank on the other one coming up.
Yeah.
Because now I'm depending on that and the right tokens coming out of the bag, which is also a random pull. And you don't see all the tokens in a game.
Exactly. I do think it is, again, the depth here, the more you play it, the more you recognize what generally good token placement would be.
Sure. I would
and
agree with
so, that. Where, okay, I can't put, you know, a couple of these right next to it because it's going to lock me in for something. You know, I won't be able to stack some tokens later.
Yeah.
I won't be able to put a house here or whatever, or build, like the housing, building, whatever.
It's a building is
building.
What they call it.
Okay. I think that's where this depth is that, yeah, you really start to kind of find your way the more you play it on what works well. Which I think is really nice.
Yeah, because it's interesting, right? Because especially your first couple of plays, your first play in particular, all you have that you are really seeing is this blank canvas and 15 different ways to score points.
Yeah.
So you have to go through game one with this. This is just a trial and error. We'll see what happens. And then you get like 2/3 of the way through and you're like, I want to start over. And so you finish out that game. And inevitably, I've not had a game where someone didn't say, can we please run that back?
Yeah.
Because I want to try it again now that I see it.
Right.
So it does have its learning curve, not because of the game mechanics, but because of the depth that we've been talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, which is good because when you're talking about a game that has a lot of simple aspects.
Sure.
It'll run its course very quickly if it doesn't have any depth. And so this does. It's got a lot of depth hidden within the terrain of it all. So, this is funny. It's on the back of the box, it says a tactical game where each of your choices will be decisive.
Oh.
So, that's true.
Yes.
That's fair. So, I mean, if we're talking about, is there anything else you want to say as far as, like, the complexity here or?
Not the complexity, no. I will say one other, we talk about, we always start with mechanics that we like.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't talk through in the how to play is that you can add on these nature spirits.
Yeah. So it's just another, I think there's 10 of them and you would deal two.
You deal two to each player.
You pick one. Yep.
And it adds... It's not really an asymmetrical power so much as a asymmetrical scoring for each player.
It adds new scoring specific to that player.
As long as you complete the...
You have to do it.
Wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So it just adds a little bit extra, which I like that. Especially in these smaller games, which are very straightforward. it's nice to have a, okay, now that you've gotten it, here's a little bit extra.
Yeah.
It doesn't really change the game.
Exactly.
But it allows for new flavor.
It did not change the game. It just added, it kind of honed in on something that you could focus in on.
I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
I have a hard time in games and in real life of just having this blank canvas and being like, what am I going to do?
Right. Well, how do I do this?
Right. But then with something to be like, okay, I have this animal. I had the lion spirit in the game we tried out right before we played. And I was like, okay, I know I want to go for yellows because right. that's going to give me a lot of points.
Exactly.
So right there.
Yeah.
Right.
And mine was, I don't even know.
The water.
Yeah. I don't know what the spirit was.
Oh, okay.
I don't even remember. But anyway, yeah, it gave me water. So I started grabbing some water tiles and that scored me some points. So speaking of the cards and tokens and everything, the components are phenomenal.
I half agree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the cards quality?
It is the card quality that I'm...
Yeah, okay.
And it's not the art.
No. I guess I'm more talking our art specifically on everything is great.
Yeah, the art's awesome.
Yeah.
They did a really good job. Because I think the idea of the theme is that you're attracting animal spirits.
Yeah.
Into this thing that you're building. And it has very much that vibe going on with the art, for sure.
The art is very... cartoony and kind of like, I don't know, mythical.
It is very mythical.
And then you have the spirits that add to that mythicality of it all, and it's very harmonious.
I don't know if you've seen Legend of Korra, which is the follow-up to Avatar The Last Airbender.
No.
But they spend a good amount of time in the spirit world in that show.
Okay.
And it has very much that vibe going on.
I really like that. I like this type of art. This is one of my kind of more enjoyable.
It is cool. I like
styles.
So you have awesome wooden tokens and you have awesome art.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop you at the wooden tokens real quick.
Okay.
So any game publisher that is listening right now, I know it costs more.
No. So
I know it costs more, but please put, if it has icons on one side of the tile, put it on both. I will pay for it. It's worth every cent. Because I hate looking at tokens that are not double-sided because I'm sitting there and I have to, during the game, flip over every token. The most annoying ever. This game has it on both sides. It's great. I love it. Please always do that. I will gladly pay for it. I think it is worth it. And it's just so much better. It's for convenience sake, but oh my gosh. Anyway, continue. That was my...
Well, it's interesting, right? Because we just... had the interview with Jay.
Yeah.
And so even just that interview has made me change the way that I think about games and how I perceive them when reviewing them. I feel like with the wooden tokens alone, you jumped up a good $5 to $10 on the price of this game.
But, right. But, I mean, what else? Plastic, I guess? Plastic cheaper?
Yes. So I'm not complaining.
I would be fine with plastic. I mean, it's fine.
So that's my question. If it became a $30 game versus a $35 game.
Right.
Or if it became a $27 game because you go to plastic and one-sided, is it worth the $8 to get that slight bump? That's what I'm curious about.
I want double-sided. I don't care what it is.
Okay. I'm curious. I'm not critiquing one way or the other.
No. So when it comes
to... This is a whole new world of how we perceive it.
I do. So in general, I do purchase... When there's an option for wooden tokens in games that I enjoy, but I'm also spending a good amount on already, I'm fine with spending it. I want to hold that thought. If you want to get to price point and all that right now, I do have something to say about that. But should we talk about it now or just do it later?
We're here.
Okay.
I have no problem coming back my critique of the cards.
No, that's fine. So in a game that is a little bit more, I would say, complex or deeper, I am fine with overspending on some wooden tokens. And I'll kickstart games and pay for wooden tokens.
That's true. You will do that.
Yes. For a game such as this, I don't know how much different it would be if the tokens were plastic. As long as they're double-sided. I want double-sided tokens because it's just ease of player. Is I hate having to flip the token over mid-game. That is super frustrating. So if these were round plastic, like kind of like Azul type tokens, I don't know what the price difference. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever. We're just throwing around arbitrary numbers.
Yeah. I don't know what that would be, but I would probably just enjoy the game the same. I do like wooden tokens, though.
Sure.
So, but I think, I don't know where this, I know this game sits at what,
35? 35 MSRP.
That is a good amount for a game like this, in my opinion, because Azul sells cheaper than that.
Yeah.
At least most of them on sale. So
I was going to say MSRP, it does not. But
Is it the same MSRP?
I think it's close. Yes. Okay. But I do think it's interesting because at first I looked at the box and I thought 35, huh? I'm really curious. But then I opened it and as soon as I touched wooden tokens, I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
I will say that there is a lot usually. So all the Azuls is either 31 or 35.
Uh-huh.
And that's full price. For Azul, there's nice, beautiful boards. And then there's usually like a nice, there's a bag, but also like a tower. So there's a couple more pieces. Like you're getting a little bit more in Azul box, in my opinion.
Sure.
And it's plastic. So.
So here's where I would spend more because I'm good with, I actually think I'm good with the price point and I'm good with the wooden tokens. Like none of that's a problem.
Yeah.
But so this copy, and I'm assuming it's across the board because why would it not? This copy has boards that are already slightly warped. And these beautiful artwork cards also have warping in them already.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I think that I would prefer to have card. I hate board warping. I mean, to me,
yeah,
that is a no-go. It really frustrates me.
I agree.
Especially when you're putting something on the board.
Yeah.
So from that aspect, it's kind of a downer to me, especially when you've, like, part of the draw of this game is the art. And
exactly.
The theme,
exactly.
Like it's this zen, harmonious artwork. And I'm like, oh, but there's this warped card and there's this warped board and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the card quality, is it tarot size?
It is tarot size, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah,
I love tarot size because it makes it bigger.
But they needed to be a little thicker probably.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Because basically I was looking at it, I was like, you have to sleeve this game.
Yeah.
Immediately for the sake of the cards.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be expected.
Right.
Out of the gate. So
not brand new.
No.
Yeah, which is, this is brand new.
And we've played, I think I've played this copy at least 6 times now. Mm-hmm. And this is from a friend of ours that let us borrow it.
Yeah.
So I know they've played it 6 times or so at this point.
Right.
But like when we took it out, it already had that. So after
exactly.
6 plays at most, you have that experience.
Right.
So that, I don't know. I mean, I'm being nitpicky or whatever, but do you have other good things you want to say about this game before I move into some other things that I would nitpick on this?
The simplicity of design,
yes,
of the artwork and the boards and the tokens, very well done.
I agree.
Very self-explanatory. Everything is not, there's no confusion. The cards, the way that everything's supposed to, the placement of your tiles in correlation to the cards is very clear. Once you play a game, sometimes you have to like, okay, well, that's not straight line. It took me, you know, a couple times. I have to look at the different ones
sure.
to compare. Once you figure it out, it's easy. So those things very well thought out and designed and play tested well because they went through that and I'm sure made some mistakes. Okay, well, how do we want to set this up? How do we want our organization? How do we want these sequences of tiles to be? They did a great job.
Yeah.
Especially the balancing of where the animal tokens get placed on the actual terrain itself, too, is also excellent. So I do want to mention that because it's very well done.
Sure.
It was.
And I love that you can rotate the configuration any way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not limited to the one picture that it shows on the board.
Right. It's not like, so there's an example is there's like a mountain, but on the picture, it's 3 fields on the bottom side of it.
Yeah.
That's fine. You could do it the other way of that, or the sideways, or left and right. As long as it's a mountain basically in the middle,
right.
You're good.
Exactly.
So
I really like that.
Yeah.
And then you can put fields on both sides.
Exactly.
And
yeah. So yeah, it's very well thought through in a way to be like, this is how it looks in front of you. And they make it look easy. It's easy to see. It's easy to see what this looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? It's almost like I'm zooming in and out on a tablet and like using my hand to
turn
it. Yeah. Okay. So the other thing I don't like about this, well, it's not that I don't like it because in a way it creates tension, but if I was designing it, I think I would do it a little bit differently. I think that there are games, especially in a 2 or 3 player game where the animal cards in the middle stall out because the cards that flip over just don't coincide with what anybody is building.
Yeah.
And it usually happens about halfway to two-thirds of the way through the game.
Somebody already has 2 to 3 cards in front of them.
They're working on their own thing.
Yeah.
And then they look at the middle, they're like, well, I want to take something, but there's nothing here. And you're right. And I'm not going to risk losing that last spot just to take an animal for the sake of it. So for me, I wish there was some kind of a card drops off after each player's turn to where there's some kind of way that the middle board is getting a refresh and feels clean.
You could house rule something, I'm sure.
You could. Absolutely. I don't know how. I mean, my fear in house ruling is I don't know if it's balanced or not. So maybe they tried that and it didn't work. But I wish there was a way to reset the middle because I get that you got to kind of work with the tokens that come out, but the cards could give a little more life to the game. And I know people could push back and say, oh, well, you got to work with what you got kind of thing. And that's fine. But when a main draw for me as a player is watching this thing in front of me build up, I want to feel like I'm actually creating something that I want to create and not being forced to adapt all the time.
Right.
And then the last thing that I'll say, and I don't know that it's specific to this game, but I'm going to use this game as an example for my feelings on this for the hobby as a whole, because this game in its theme got so close to just deciding to being something different, but it didn't fully commit. We have so many nature games in the board gaming hobby. So many.
Yeah.
And I get it. People love every kind of nature game. There's bugs, there's birds, there's butterflies, there's animals, there's animals, blah, blah, blah. There's find the species. Like, I get it. It's cool. People like animals. People like nature. Like, I'm not trying to be whatever about that. But like, you got so close. You got to the spirit part. And instead of doing regular animals, why not do something fun in a either fantasy setting or make it like mythical creatures or just something unique? And again, going back to the interview with Jay, it's going to sell better because it's nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to be like, oh, I like lions, which is on the front of the box.
Yeah.
Oh, let's try it out. I like nature theme. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I look around my collection and I'm like, yeah, I've got several nature games here. But at the same time, I would enjoy this more as a different theme.
Hmm.
That's just me nitpicking that.
Fascinating.
Any thoughts on that, Ian? Because I know you weren't expecting that one.
I think it's a fine theme. I don't have any.
It is a fine theme.
I don't feel that strongly about the whole spirit. It's the theme. The terrain is the theme. Like when you're playing, the animals kind of fit in.
Yes.
So being a real animal or a spirit animal, I don't. It's whatever to me. I don't. But that's that. That is it. No, I mean, it's a fair point. I just, to me, doesn't change anything.
Okay.
Doesn't make it worse or less. I don't. Doesn't make it better. Doesn't make it worse to me. If it were a theme about it, I do like the spirits though. Those are cool. So yes, I mean, in a way, I think I wish there were more. Or yeah, I mean, I would be fine with either, honestly.
Okay.
So, but because we're talking about this, so how do you say the name of it? What's the game company again?
Why are you doing this to me? Libelud.
So they've done a lot of games with similar art style. Dixit is one that I get similar vibes from.
Are they the original Dixit people?
Yeah, they did.
Before Asmodee picked it up?
Well, they do it. I mean, they are on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were on the front of it for sure. Yeah. So the similar art style, I think Mysterium is the one that they are attached to.
That's very much in the Dixit vein.
Yes. And they like the tarot-sized cards in a lot of these games, which
big fan.
Yes. These card qualities are not as good as those other games, in my opinion, though.
Yeah, I would 100% have paid the extra $5 to get it up to a $40 game if that meant thicker cardstock.
Yeah.
And a bit better board.
Right. But this guy, I mean, again, this, I, I, I applaud any game company that sticks to their guns and sticks to games that they like to make and focuses in on what they like to do well. And sure. So they like good art, and they like art that's creative and fun and light and creative and, well, I already said that, but like kind of spiritual in a way, and I like it.
It does have that vibe.
Dixit is one of my favorite, it's a favorite game on art alone. Is I love the art in that game.
I mean, that is like the draw of
it
Dixit.
It is the draw of Dixit. And so, and this is, it is a big draw is the art here. So, but I think it fits into exactly what they're trying to do. And I like that. I appreciate that. And I think that's really, it's great. That's what I want from a game company. So they're sticking to it and I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get it. So, player interaction. How do you feel about player interaction?
There's not much. Well, there is...
It's very subtle, like the rest of this game.
It's because you're drafting, so you're taking tiles that other players may want or not, and
well,
then cards.
And it's all exposed. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you want is tabled
knowledge.
And your
board is exposed, so people know what you're collecting.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, there's very minimal, but it does interact. It's not like non... You do react. Yeah, there's interaction.
Do you have a favorite player count?
I would probably do... I think 3 would be good.
Yeah, I like this at 2 and 3. I think I like it at 3 a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I think it plays really well
three,
at 2.
You're running through the cards a little more and running through
the tokens.
And the tokens. So.
But there's a downside to that too, because with
seeing,
5 spaces in that central board,
yeah,
most of the time there's 2 or 3 options that you want.
Yeah.
So in a 2-player game, you're kind of tagging back and forth quickly.
Right.
Whereas in a 3-player game, you'd be like, oh, and then then you're hoping that a good pull comes out. So
I could see that. I think 3 though, where you still get to see the same token stacks as you come back to your turn, and then you're seeing some clear out, including the animals too. So
right on. All right, grading and final thoughts. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of good that I like about this game. There's some bad that I don't really love. I think at the end of the day. This game sits at a 7.5 for me. I love the build of it. I love the interaction that the animals do have. I think if you had a little bit better quality on some of the components and you had a different theme, I would be down to play this game a lot. As it is, I'm happy to play it when someone else wants to pull it out, but I don't know that I'm always going to want to play this game. Partly because I like the story aspect in games. And I've got so many nature games out there that this one has its place, but it doesn't really stand out as much as I would like it to. So for me, it's a 7.5. I'm really curious what's in your head. Because I feel like I was more critical of it and you seem more hesitant.
I would say that this game is a 7, just a straight up 7. I think it is excellent for people that like these kind of games, and if this is the style that you like, then this might be the best of them. For me personally, I don't find it necessary to have this in the collection unless I'm replacing it. You don't need all 3. If we're talking about Cascadia,
see, that's interesting because that's the opposite of what you said earlier.
Well,
what happened during this conversation?
I don't know. I think it's doing it. For somebody that likes these games, I think you could have all 3. For me, I don't desire to have any more. Like, that's not my thing. But this I would say the caveat to that is that this game is really good for entry level or very just chill gaming.
Yeah.
If you want to have just a very chill, like you could play multiple games of this. It's only like 30-ish minutes. It's perfect. That's not the type of gaming that I do, so I don't need more than one of these games. But if you already have Cascadia or Azul and you love it, this would fit perfect. Buy this and see if you like both. I don't know. I feel like they could both have their space because they are different, like the way they play. But for me, and I know that sounds it's two conflicting ideas. That makes sense,
it is what it is.
Yeah, if that makes sense, I'm trying to make it make sense. Like. It's just Azul is doing similar things, so I just don't feel the necessity to have more than one. But for me, because that's just not my gaming. But if you like Azul and you like I could see the other side of that. The other side of that is if you like that style of game, you will like really, really enjoy this. And I feel like that hits a lot of gamers. This game is highly rated on BGG and does really well because it's quick, easy, has really good art, and easy to teach and learn.
Sure.
Those are excellent qualities in a game. And so that I desire that in all my games. So I think that fits really well. And that I'm trying to, I guess, not have conflicting ideas here. For me personally, it's not something that I would add, but if you like some of those other games, I think you could definitely, it can have space for sure.
So I will just end with this tidbit, and I add this tidbit with a massive grain of salt because BGG scoring is kind of whatever.
Right, right.
But though number one and number two game in the abstract category rankings.
Yeah.
Cascadia and Azul.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the top two.
I think this might...
This one's climbing quickly. It's a 2024 release, and it's number seven.
Yeah, this might take it over.
So it's just very interesting that mom and dad are watching the little kid grow up, and it will join it soon.
I think this might take the top spot. What's the top spot right now, Azul?
Cascadia.
Oh, Cascadia. Okay.
Which, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. A little bit.
Cascadia...
Better
like
theme,
fire.
More interesting theme than
Azul is. I mean, Azul rode the wave for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there wasn't really a lot like it when Azul came out.
Exactly.
And I think that's the only reason it's really still there.
Yeah.
But the one you mentioned, Summer Pavilion, is five. So it is adapting, which is nice.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm toying with like one more thing that I noticed that I'm like toying asking you.
Okay.
So I thought I'd mention this.
Okay.
In the abstract category, Acropolis is ranked 14th.
I mean, that would be the best of them, in my opinion.
Okay. So, well,
yeah, Acropolis is
my
way
question
better.
Is not so much the thought of the ranking. Do you feel like having Azul and Acropolis are different enough that you can keep both?
So, Acropolis has a lot more strategic takes than I think all of these. It's not just one. It's not like just one tile. The tile itself, all the tiles are different because they each have multiple different things on them.
Sure.
And then there's the vertical stacking, which this does have, but not in the same way.
It's nowhere near as challenging as Acropolis.
Yeah, there is way more depth in Acropolis in my mind. I consider them. That's like taking a game like this to the next level is Acropolis. So if you like all these games, then you listen to our review of Acropolis because we really both enjoyed that one. But no, I don't consider those kind of the same vein because this is more entry level to me. I don't know if this is sold in your big box stores, but it should be very much fits.
I don't think it is yet.
It should be. They need to. They're missing an opportunity because this would fit with so many people that I know,
sure,
and they would enjoy this, and I think families and all that. This is a good game. So I hate to give it only a seven because I do think this would do really well, and this is a great family game. This is a very 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 good family game.
No, I'm very intrigued to see how Faith and Joy take to it.
Yeah, this would work. This is way better of a family game than Acropolis. Not that Acropolis isn't a family game. It can work.
Yeah.
But this is easy. This is so much easier to teach.
So the people that I borrowed this from, the wife is not a gamer at all. Like, she avoids board games.
Exactly.
And he told me the story. The reason that they have this game is because they were in a board game store. He was buying some Magic cards.
Yeah.
And she happened to catch the art of this game.
There you go.
And she was looking at it. He was like, do you want to try it out?
Yeah.
And she said yes. And I was talking to them the other day, and they were just like, yeah, I really like it.
She likes it, though?
Yeah, she's a big animal fan.
Okay, well, there you go.
So it definitely can draw in people who are not.
Well, that's awesome.
There you go.
So, that's so awesome because that's where I think this sits.
And
so
that's part of the extra 0.5 for me, I think, is that it is so approachable.
Yeah.
Anyways. I'm going to stop because we're coming up on an hour.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I agree.
With that idea in mind, listeners, thank you so much if you've made it this far or however far you made it. It is very much appreciated. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. And if you don't like socials, I totally get it. You can check us out at our website at thegametablepodcast.com, or you can shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find Ian and I and the Game Table Podcast on Board Game Geek.
All of the above.
All of those links are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as we head back over to the kids' table for Once Upon a Castle. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And live in harmony.
Harmony! Oof, there was no harmony there.